From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It's nice to meet you again with me, Rahma, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information starting from news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, let's begin with the news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, on the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id, and RRI Playgo mobile app.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news first, the headlines. Bank Indonesia says Indonesia maintains economic recovery amid global uncertainty. The Indonesian government launches policy package to mitigate El Nino impacts. Now the news in detail. Deputy Governor of the Indonesian Central Bank, Bank Indonesia, Aida S. Budiman, affirmed that Indonesia has been able to maintain the momentum of economic recovery amid global uncertainty and economic turmoil. She explained it at the 7th Indonesia Risk Management Outlook 2024 event, theme Beyond Uncertainty and Opportunity, Technology and Leadership as Key Elements, monitored online on Friday, October 27th. Aida Budiman drew attention to several main challenges faced by the global economy, such as economic growth that is projected to slow down, escalation of geopolitical tensions, and interest rate policies in developed countries. The 2024 political year will not affect Indonesia's trade activities, according to Director General of National Export Development at the Ministry of Trade, Didi Sumedi, in Jakarta, as reported by Antara. Sumedi explained trade activities, unlike stock exchanges, are free from the effects of political conditions, adding that while the valuation of stocks can be affected by political and economic conditions, the trade sector, however, will not be affected since it is a real sector. The Batam Concession Agency recorded the value of foreign investment in the first semester of 2023 in Batam Island reached $1.2 billion, while domestic investment was recorded at $168 million. Most of the foreign investment came from Singapore. Head of the Batam Concession Agency, Muhammad Rudi, disclosed it in Batam on Friday as quoted by Antara. According to him, the total foreign investment value increased by 1.56% as compared to the same period in the previous year. The Indonesian government launched an economic policy package based on the state budget to mitigate adverse impacts of the prolonged dry season induced by the heat phenomenon El Niño. The El Niño has resulted in a hike in prices of commodities such as rice, which in turn led to high inflationary pressure. Indonesian Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati, in a statement received in Jakarta on Friday, said the government needs to use the state budget to provide protection by intensifying social aid distribution. She also remarked that apart from the El Niño effects, the policy package is also targeted at mitigating the impacts of global economic turmoil and the slowing down of China's economy. This news broadcast is coming your way from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The near total telecommunications blackout in Gaza amid Israel's ongoing bombardment of the Palestinian territory risk providing cover for mass atrocities, NGO Human Rights Watch stated on Friday, as reported by ArabNews.com. Internet access and the phone network were completely cut across the Gaza Strip on Friday, nearly 3 weeks after Israel began bombarding the enclave following an armed attack by Hamas militants that Israeli officials say killed at least 1,400 people, mostly civilians. The health ministry in the Hamas-run Gaza Strip says at least 7,326 people have been killed in Israel's retaliatory strikes since the October 7 attack, mainly civilians and many of them children. Russian central bank has put up its key interest rate to 15% to try to curb inflation and bolster a weak ruble. As reported by BBC.com, the higher-than-expected rate hike of 2 percentage points raises borrowing costs for the fourth time in a row. Globally, the pace of price rises has been high, in part due to Russia's invasion to Ukraine. Inflation in Russia hit 6% in September. There has also been increased government spending in Russia as it pours resources into its war machine. The Vietnamese Prime Minister Pham Minh Chinh told World Bank Country Director Caroline Turk in Hanoi on Friday that the Vietnamese government always considers the World Bank a close friend and an important development partner. As reported by VOVWorld.vn, Prime Minister Chinh praised the World Bank's support and active contribution to Vietnam's socio-economic development since 1993 through policy consultation and financial assistance. He suggested that the bank give priority to key projects on strategic transport infrastructure. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Ayo maju.
The first news from across Indonesia comes from the city of Medan, North Sumatra. The acting governor of North Sumatra, Hasanuddin, released the 1,000-meter-long ulos, or traditional Batak woven cloth, which will be unfurled at the Jakarta National Monument or Monas on Wednesday, October the 13th. According to Hasanuddin, the North Sumatra provincial government is pushing for National Ulos Day to be declared by the central government so that it becomes a national cultural heritage and even belongs to the world. Chairman of the National Ulos Day Committee, Mikael Siregar, said that the 1,000-meter-long ulos represent 5 tribes or communities in the Lake Toba area. The ulos was woven by 15 people. According to him, the ulos are not spliced and are woven directly by weavers who have a government license. Ulos has become a national intangible cultural heritage by the Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology on October 17, 2014. Furthermore, the day of this designation become Ulos Day, which is celebrated every October the 17th. The next news comes from Surakarta, Central Java. Dozens of artists from a number of countries in Leuven, the Association of Southeast Asian Nations or ASEAN Panji Festival, held by the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology at Surakarta City Hall, Central Java, Wednesday evening. Director of Cultural Development and Utilization, Ministry of Education and Culture, Research and Technology, Irini Dewiwanti, said that the festival was attended by 9 countries in ASEAN. According to her, the Panji story is an original Indonesian story and has spread throughout ASEAN countries. The Panji manuscript has received UNESCO's Memory of the World, so Indonesia has a responsibility. In fact, according to her, reliefs telling the story of Panji can be found in a number of places in Indonesia. The last news comes from Banjarmasin, South Kalimantan. The South Kalimantan Province Education and Culture Office held an exploration of the Liang Bangkai Cave cultural heritage in Tanah Bumbu involving students. Head of the Culture Division of the South Kalimantan Province Education and Culture Service, Raudati Hidayati, in Banjarmasin Wednesday said that this activity also involved senior high school students from Simpang Empat Tanah Bumbu Regency to increase understanding of the history and cultural heritage of their area. She explained that Liang Bangkai Cave was one of the sites that was inhabited by prehistoric humans of 3000 BC, with evidence of the existence of artifacts, household tools, and ancient human skeletons. That was news from across Indonesia. I'll begin today in history with October the 28th, 1928, the Indonesian Youth Pledge Day first observed. A youth organization that consisted of students from all over Indonesia, called the Indonesian Student Association, initiated the holding of the Second Youth Congress on October 27 and 28, 1928, during the Dutch colonial time. The Congress aimed at strengthening the sense of Indonesian unity and nationality that had grown in the minds and hearts of young people. The Second Youth Congress was held in 3 different meetings. The first meeting was on October the 27th, 1928, while the third meeting was on October the 28th, and it was at this third meeting that the formulation was announced, which is the result of the Congress known as the Youth Pledge, which affirmed the ideals of one Indonesian homeland, Indonesian nation, and Indonesian language. Turning next to October 28, 2009, NASA's new rocket launch. Delayed a day due to bad weather, the rocket prototype that was used to send humans back to the moon was finally successfully launched. The test launch of the Ares-1X rocket was carried out from the Kennedy Space Center, Florida, United States, on October 28, 2009. In this launch, the rocket did not yet carry a single crew member or any load. This rocket prototype has only been used to test the first stage of the rocket's booster fuel combustion process. I'll end today in history with October 28, 2014. An unmanned NASA rocket exploded. An unmanned rocket belonging to the United States National Space Agency, NASA, exploded shortly after being launched from the Space Launch Center in Virginia, United States, on October 28, 2014. NASA stated that there were no casualties in the incident. The 14-stage rocket was created and launched by Orbital Science Corporation. It exploded when launched from the Wallops Flight Facility located on the seashore at around 6:22 p.m. local time. That was the end of Today in History.
Thank you.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
You are still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id or RRI Playgo mobile app. Listener, the next segment is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia is on Vice President says transversal technology, driving force towards a golden Indonesia 2045. Indonesian Vice President Ma'ruf Amin said digitalization of Syariah economics and finance is part of transversal technology to move towards a golden Indonesia 2045. Vice President Amin stated this when attending the opening of the 10th Indonesia Syariah Economic Festival at the Jakarta Convention Center Thursday. Quoting wapres.go.id, Vice President Ma'ruf Amin said that without strategic initiatives to accelerate the implementation of transversal technology, Indonesia is not expected to be optimal in achieving its gross domestic product target in 2045. Transversal technology, namely cross-sector technology that has a multi-industry impact, is a prerequisite for all potential sectors to successfully take the steps towards a golden Indonesia 2045. Indonesia has many assets and potential to become a high-income country, so it needs to increase the application of technology and digitalization in all sectors. He added that the application of transversal technology in the Syariah economic and financial sector will accelerate the Syariah economy and finance to make it inclusive and sustainable. The use of digitalization and digital innovation will increase the efficiency and productivity of the halal industry. On that occasion, Vice President Ma'ruf Amin appreciated the digitalization of social funds in the form of the One Indonesian Wakaf application platform. In expanding the use of digitalization, all Syariah economic activists should increase Syariah financial literacy and inclusion at least by 50%, he said. He also encouraged Syariah economic activists to create communication strategies, narratives, and information channels that are in line with the latest developments. This is important so that it is easily accepted and understood by the younger generation who are the potential future leaders. All actors in the development of the Syariah economy must be consistent in Syariah economic and financial programs by immediately realizing the Indonesian Halal Industry Master Plan, which has been launched. Vice President Ma'ruf Amin asked the National Committee for Syariah Economics and Finance, the Ministry of National Development Planning, together with the Ministry of Finance and other relevant ministries or institutions, including Bank Indonesia, to oversee and immediately realize it. That was My Indonesia Today.
I need a lover to keep me sane. Pull me from hell, bring me back again. Play me the classics, something romantic. Giving my all when I don't even have it. I always dreamed of a solemn face. Someone who feels like a holiday. But now I'm in pieces, barely believing. Starting to think that I've lost all feeling. Came out the blue on a rainy night. No lie, I tell you how I almost died. Why you're bringing me back to life? I just wanna live in this moment forever. Cause I'm afraid that living couldn't get any better. Started giving up on the world forever. So we could be together. Oh,
finding the tattoos on your skin. Tell me a secret, and baby I'll keep it. And maybe we can play house for the weekend. We can rent the blue on a rainy night. No lie, I'll tell you how I almost died. While you're bringing me back.
This is Voice of Indonesia, the overseas broadcasting service of Radio Republik Indonesia. Now we present you Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, here is Indonesian Wonder. Traveling to Lamongan City, East Java is not complete if you don't enjoy a culinary to the city. Lamongan is a small regency located in East Java which has various special foods. One of them is nasi boronan or sego boronan, which is a traditional food of Lamongan, East Java. Sellers of nasi boronan usually sell their food from afternoon to evening. This rice is also usually sold on a lesehan around the city markets in Lamongan Regency. Listener, the term of nasi boranan is taken from the container for rice called boranan, which is a kind of basket made of bamboo which is circular at the top and square at the bottom with four supports at each other. With almost the same shape, people around Lamongan City also use this type of basket for various purposes such as for transporting and various agricultural commodities. Listener, in general, food is served using plates or bowls, but this is different from boranan rice, which is served by using leaves and its shape into a cone, or in Javanese it is pincuk, and uses a rice container made from woven bamboo. Nasi boranan consists of rice, spices, side dishes, peanut brittle, vegetables mixed with grated coconut called urap or warehouse, and pletuk, which is dried rice or nuts. Meanwhile, boranan rice seasoning consists of ground spices. Then boranan rice is coated with a special sauce which gives a spicy taste because it is made from galangang, ginger, shrimp, paste, kaffir lime, boiled cayenne pepper, and soaked raw rice as a thickener, grated coconut, shallots, garlic, pepper, sugar, and salt. Listener, the specialty of Boranan rice, which you will not find on the other miners, is soft, and it is made from seasoned wheat flour and fried in the shape of balls with detended dreadlocks made from cassava. Meanwhile, the side dish of silly fish cannot be found at all the time because it is a seasonal fish. For each pincuk nasi Boranan, which contains rice, vegetable, ointment, platuk, dreadlocks, tofu, and tempeh, and peanut brittle, you only need to pay from 6,000 rupiah to 17,000 rupiah depending on the fish chosen. Boranan rice is usually sold from 4:30 to 8:30 and 4 o'clock p.m. to 4:30 p.m. rotating between traders. Usually traders sell it by carrying it using a scarf, the culinary delight, and only be found in Lamongan. So if you have the opportunity to visit Lamongan, nasi Boranan, which is a typical Lamongan culinary dish. Well, listener, that was my Indonesian wonder for today's edition, and we will see you again tomorrow with another interesting topic.
Kau tak
listener, here is miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occur in Indonesia. VOA listener, today is a historic day for the Indonesian people, especially the youth. October 28 every year is the momentum to commemorate the youth pledge in various regions in Indonesia. There is something interesting about this year's youth pledge commemoration in the Riau Islands compared to other regions. Usually the commemoration is only ceremonial, but in the Riau Islands, it takes place lively with various series of activities from artistic performances and attractions to various competitions involving thousands of participants. This year's Youth Pledge commemoration event is entitled Riau Islands Youth Pledge Festival 2023. Riau Islands Youth Pledge Festival 2023 is a collaboration between the Riau Islands Provincial Youth and Sports Service, Karang Taruna Riau Province Youth Organization, Riau Islands Photo Community, and Purna Paskibraka Tanjung Pinang City. The event lasted for 3 days from Thursday 26 to Saturday, October 28, 2023. The Riau Islands Youth and Sports Service through the Secretary of the Youth and Sports Service, Dr. Aludin Andi, explained this series of activities was centered at Gurindam 12 Courtyard, Tanjung Pinang Waterfront Area. Meanwhile, on Thursday, October 26, a series of activities started with the Youth Entrepreneurship Bazaar Exhibition Competition, Kite Flying Competition, Youth Creative Dance Competition, Lumping Horse Performance, and Lion Dance. Besides the activities that have been running since the first day on Thursday, on that day, the Archipelago Traditional Clothing Defile was also held. Then Riau Islands Young Carnival Competition, Kindergarten and Early Childhood Coloring Competition, the Craft Competition, Youth Technology Innovation Competition. Youth Healthy Gymnastics started a series of activities on Friday. The Riau Islands Photo Marathon, Youth Vocal Competition, Youth Band Competition, Traditional Sport Games such as Engrang, Chopsticks, Hadang, and Gasing, and other youth community actions continued. Meanwhile, for photography activities, more than 200 photography practitioners and lovers took part in the Riau Islands Photo Marathon. The Riau Islands Youth Pledge Festival 2023 series involves various youth organizations and various communities in the Riau Islands, including the online motorcycle taxi community. The peak of the Riau Islands Youth Pledge Festival 2023 is held on Saturday, October 28. The governor of the Riau Islands, Haji Ansar Ahmad, directly led the 95th Youth Pledge Commemoration Day ceremony at the Riau Islands province level in 2023 at the regional building. Well, listener, that's miscellany from Voice of Indonesia.
Seems like it's been written right from the start.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
You are still listening to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world, 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id or RRI Playgo mobile app. Listener, next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOA listener, today's Music Corner presents a keroncong song entitled Sumpah Pemuda by Toto Salmon. The song created by Marjo Kahar was popularized by one of the legendary keroncong singers, Toto Salmon. The song, which in English means Youth Pledge, tells the importance of the services of youth from various regions in Indonesia, which later gave birth to the historic Youth Pledge on October 28, 1928. It was a moment that was very full of history, which then succeeded in giving birth to collective courage, a spirit of unity, and oneness of all Indonesian people in fighting to expel the invaders in order to achieve the common goal, namely the independence of the Indonesian nation. Well, listener, let's enjoy the song by Toto Salmon entitled Sumpah Pemuda.
Menjadi kewajiban pemuda pada masa sekarang. Mengabdi untuk nusa dan bangsa, memenuhi sumpahnya. Karena suasana baru menggembleng semangatmu, agar selalu bersiap serta teguh bersatu. Wahai pemuda, apa artinya hidupmu ini jika kamu berjasa kepada Ibu Pertiwi? Pemuda di atas pundak letak nasib negeri. Hindarkan itu dari musuhmu, bela dengan jiwamu, Berjasa kepada Ibu Pertiwi, pemuda di atas pundaknya, letak nasib negeri. Hindarkan itu darimu, bela dengan jiwamu,
Voice of Indonesia.
bangsa
Indonesia. Yang bermukim di dalam mimpi, yang menjelma rona cita. Bersama bagi bangsa Indonesia.
Listener, it's time for me to sign out now. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world on the frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz, www.voinews.id and RRI Playgo mobile app. Don't forget to check our social media accounts, Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, voice.of.indonesia, Twitter, VOI Indonesia, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, VOI Indonesia. I'm Rahmawati signing out. See you in the next English program.